Executive Committee member has been, there's two assigned to each topic, and we're going to do some research, see where we need to go and make some suggestions. We, for these subcommittees, will be looking for volunteers, and again, I'm going to introduce this concept on Friday during my presentation, because they can't do it all alone, nor should they be doing it all alone. I mean, everybody across the state is going to have some great ideas. And so we'll be looking to form subcommittees that can come up with some policies and recommendations. If, for those of you that were here or down at Fall Conference last fall, Chris Hammond is the visiting fellow in D.C. from the New York DA's office, and she's really the one that has spearheaded this idea of best practices. That's what they call it there in New York. Other states, as we've met in some meetings, don't like the term best practices because it makes it sound like if you're not following those practices, then you know defense counsel may come in and challenge. And so that's why they came up with the name Policy Advisory Committee. And that's all it's going to be, is coming up with some policy and recommending that, advising that prosecutors' offices follow this. They've established the subcommittee will make a presentation to the committee or to the executive committee. That will be an open meeting. Anybody can attend. And then the executive committee will get together and discuss, and they have to be unanimous before they will make a recommendation. So we're going to see how that works. Let's see. Like I said, Mark's going to talk about it tonight. So I think, I don't say much more than that unless anybody's got some specific questions on what the intent or what we're doing with that committee. Okay.
Has anybody ever sort of wondered whether this whole national best practice movement is going to be a way that eventually, as prosecutor immunity sort of evaporates or is deteriorated, that it will be a way to
see what the standard is?
See what the standard is, and if a prosecutor doesn't come up to that standard, they may be civilly liable, or their office might be civilly liable.
Well, that's the underlying reason why some people don't like the term best practices, is for that very reason. But I think, I don't know the answer to that. I think the answer would probably be no, because again, it's just simply recommendations, and it's not, you have to do this. We just think that here's the research, here's the study that's been done. For example, it's been interesting in the two meetings that I've been to that have been sponsored by DOJ. When we met last summer, there was talk, and they presented evidence that a simultaneous lineup seemed to be the way to go. Meaning you showing everybody's mugshot at once. Whereas when we met this last time, this last spring, early this year, there's now research that they brought the saying, well, no, maybe sequential is better, where you do it one at a time. And so it's kind of a fluid area. I mean, that's just one area, and so those practices may change. And maybe I'm just rambling, and so I don't know that we've addressed that. That's certainly an issue.
So the question, the output of the committee will, using the lineup, for instance, will say, well, here are ways that it's being done.
Right.
Or will they say, there are various ways, but we recommend a certain approach?
We talked about that, and they don't know yet, because it's so new on... I mean, obviously we've only met once, but I think it would be nice if they made a recommendation based on the research. We think this is the best way to do it, but there's certainly that concern if they make those recommendations. But I think that's something that we can discuss as a committee, as a UPAC committee, and I can run that by Chris Hammond, who's had more eyes on, and this New York has had their best practices committee for several years. So I can ask her if there's been ever any issues like that raised. So, okay. There's a review of my first year. I won't go over that unless anybody has any questions. It's been great. It's been busy. I was going to talk about that Donna and Ed and I are really high-priced paid secretaries. I wish I had funding for even a part-time secretary, but I don't. So we will continue to be secretaries. Which then takes me to the last thing, or is there any other business that we need to talk about?
Any other items anybody wants to bring up that hasn't been on the agenda?
Oh, thank you, yes.
Bob, do you want to talk about our issue from yesterday?
Yes. So, within as you all know, UPC is inside of the AG's office.
It's actually by statute a part of the AG's
right,
office.
Right. But what we had some issues that came up earlier this year where it was determined that Ed and Donna and I are not actual employees of the AG's office. We're employed by UPC. And so that's created some question as to when we speak, when we say something, are we speaking as employees of the council or as attorney generals? What happened yesterday is I got a phone call from a freelance reporter wanting to talk to me about PIMS and case management. And I said, okay. I mean, and I knew that the AG's office has a policy that employees are not supposed to just talk to the press until they get approval from exec. But I thought, well, I'm not an employee of the AG's office. I mean, it's just that weird dynamic. But he wants to talk about PIMS, which is uniquely UPC, and case management. And so I said, okay, I'll talk with you. The course of the conversation was, as he was asking, you know, questions, I understand that UPC and the AG, and I said, look, I need to, and I tried to make it very clear several times in our conversation that I don't speak for General Reyes, I'm not employed. I work for the prosecution counsel, even though we're within the AG's office. And again, I just kept trying to make that clear, but he was asking, okay, how did the AG's office and UPC work together on case management? And so I discussed that. I probably should have said, I'm not going to comment on anything the AG's office did. And I probably should have done that, but I kept saying, I can't speak to what the AG's office is doing or what they did. And so Spence was concerned that I had violated the policy by, you know, not getting the permission ahead of time from exec. And, you know, so I emailed him back and I just said, so there is some question that Ed and Donna and I have is we're not sure where we stand in terms of when we're speaking. Are we speaking on behalf of the council or are we speaking on behalf of the AG's office? Is that, if I summarize it, or is it more than that?
That's fair. I want to go back to something you said earlier, though. You said you were not an employee of the Attorney General's office. I'm not sure that's exactly accurate.
Okay.
It says, I mean, if you look at the statute, the first sentence in the statute says,
right,
created within the office of the Utah Attorney General is.
Right.
So I think you are part of the Attorney General's office and subject to its policies and procedures.
Okay, because, so how this came up is when the AG's office, I got an email saying, okay, it's time for employee incentive awards. As you all remember, last time we went to closed session and addressed that issue. And so when I went to our first meeting, I had nominated Donna for an award. And Greg accepted it, but then came back and said, no, well, Warner has said, and I sat down with Warner, and he says, well, you're not employees in terms of to be eligible for the award.
I think under FTEs you're not, but you're still part of the office.
Well, and if that's the case, then that's, you know, we just need that guidance. You know, because my understanding was that, and I guess that's the other thing is, for example, in terms of any type of grievance, if were to be filed, is
legislation too, right? I mean, that came out the previous year.
It did.
Yeah.
Appearing before the legislature, because when you appear, and I know I've been there when Ed's appeared, he appears as an assistant attorney general.
Well, that I didn't speak that year, as you know.
No.
In front of any committee.
Not in front of the committee, you were in front of CCJJ,
yes,
and I think the Law Enforcement Legislative Committee, but you appeared as an assistant attorney general. And that was my concern, is because I was sitting in the room and I disagreed with what you were doing,
right,
which led to you have to get approval before you appear.
Right.
Right.
And so I guess that's where, you know, so coming to the council is we just need some clarification. So the statute says that within the attorney general's office, but it's the council that hires me and fires me, and I can, you know, hire and fire Ed or Donna. And so the three of us are just seeking guidance as to, you know, where we fall so that we don't make these kinds of mistakes in the future. Because, you know, it's not our intent to cause issues with the AG's office. We just need to know what's our status.
Well, I mean, I'm the chair of MISLAC, and there's a lot of legislation that comes up, and I, you know, a lot of it, I don't think there's much dispute about it. There certainly was that one last year, I get that. And
yeah,
so, you know, part of that was the new administration of the AG's office came in
right timely for the legislature, so we were kind of going one way, and you know, that exec disagreed with that one bill, so that was somewhat a historical circumstance, but I can see it coming up again if the Misdemeanor Legislative Affairs Committee has something. I'm the chair of that. I'm an employee of the AG's office, subject to personnel manual and all that, and then exec disagrees with it. I mean, the solution is I just get somebody else to go up there and mm-hmm. somebody from this
side. Well, yeah. Does that make it so that the AG controls what UPC says completely?
That's my concern.
Discussion. Yeah.
So does within mean that you house them, or within mean that they're a part of your organizational structure?
I think that's, we need to figure that out. I mean, obviously, we pay for two of the employees that
right.
you use.
Sure.
They are FTEs, and they are paid right out of our budget.
Right.
But the question is, and the big one that I have is, if Bob and his group are not subject to the policies and procedures, then we're going to make some changes. And it'll be things like access and where you're housed and some other mm-hmm. things.
Right. That's what I'm saying is
my concern is simply control over what UPC is trying to put out there. And I agree he shouldn't have anything to say about the AG's office. But
when he speaks, he's speaking, and it comes across, I mean, even when I receive
right.
an email from him, it says Assistant Attorney General.
Right, and that maybe I think if that's the way it comes out, if that's what your email is addressed,
well, not anymore. That should be changed.
Sean just re-deputized all of this, too. I don't know if
he did.
Yeah. Right, and that...
I mean, to be deputized as a prosecutor, that comes from Sean.
Right.
So does mine.
Right.
Right.
And it, you know, and if you're not part of the office, then you're going to have to get your deputization from somebody else.
Well, and that's when that first happened, is that was my email to Greg, as I said, based on, you know, what had been happening within the office, is should we really be deputized AG, since my understanding at that point was we weren't employed by the AG's office. I don't know if we need to be deputized to be prosecutors to work for UPC. I mean, so maybe that's another question.
To be a prosecutor within the state, you have to be deputized by somebody.
Right, no.
One of the elected or municipal or the AG.
Right, no, sorry. What I meant, though, is to work for UPC, do we have to be prosecutors to be deputized?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But if Donna second chairs a case in Twillow, that's
right, but that
case,
right, that would require.
Yeah, but then the Twillow County.
Yeah, the Twillow takes
gets her special deputization.
Yeah. I'll have to take just a tiny bit of blame for this, because back in whenever it was that we drafted that statute, Joe Tesh and I put it together, so it tells you what it was. But it was the idea, the biggest issue at that time was revenue sharing, and we were getting money from the brand new funding mechanism of the surcharge, and so that had to be in a state agency, because everybody was yelling revenue sharing if you gave a nickel to the local government. And so that's the reason it was put together that way. And also that way they'd have the resources of the AG's office for what would become IT after that, and that kind of thing. So it's certainly time for an update, because it was a different world.
Well, I agree with Bob.
I think we ought to be open to saying which way we want to go on this, because really this is a very different circumstance than it was when we put it together.
It is. And we've had enough problems with the press that we just have to control. The office has to speak with one voice.
Right.
And that's why we have approval.
No question.
Here's just a quick comment as a pattern to take a look at, because it doesn't solve this issue. But on the local level, especially the county, we have a statute, because we deal with elected officials that we have a legislative body that is elected, we have the executive, then we have administrative elected. And there's always a concern about, I'm elected, and so I've got an office to run. So we have a statute that basically says that for professional judgment and discretion is left up to the elected individual based upon the duties of their office, whatever that is. However, for general policies, that they are still subject to general policies within the county. And so that's how we deal with a kind of conflict that you're looking at. And so you may look at it as a pattern and for clarification, but it does preserve the professional judgment and discretion of the elected individual. So in this case, that judgment and discretion and the control of whoever works for him is left, it would be left to Bob, but still subject to general
policies and procedures of the office.
Right, yeah. Right.
There's one more practice that I think we need to mention, and that was in the beginning, when we put UPC together, our understanding was that UPC would, that nobody in UPC, which of course was Mark, or well, I guess Jim Housley and then Mark, that nobody would, that UPC would not make any, do any lobbying. They wouldn't be making any political statements on any topic, and that would be left to SWAP. Now, again, like I say, it's a different circumstance, but the reason for that was that legislators, if they don't like what you're saying, they can threaten your budget, of course. I'm sure that's news. But they couldn't do that to SWAP particularly, because, you know, we had that much insulation. And so it worked out well, which was why we decided to keep two separate organizations. And it's worked very well for all these many years, you know, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's yet another issue that we ought to be thinking about. Now that we've got employees who work on issues, and Donna's very active in that issue, in that area, if she's doing that, it really ought to be as a deputy HE and subject to what you're doing, rather than as a representative of UPC. That's just my personal view. Mm-hmm. And it's only based on practice, not based on any.
And I agree with that, because I don't think the legislators, they don't draw a distinction between UPC and the Attorney General's office. They see you as part and parcel. So whatever you say comes right back to us. And if it's good, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm. But if it's not good, then we end up.
Right. So I guess what it'd be nice if we could sit down and figure this out. I mean, I talked to Paul, you know, my aspirations were huge, you know, a year ago, is we really do need to redraft the entire statute that created UPC, because as Paul said, it's changed and been modified. Our mission has changed.
Is it the time to get into that now with the kind of the legislative sentiment? I mean, I worry about opening that statute up.
Well, I don't know that I would want to address the surcharge as opposed to just the language of the statute. I mean, I don't know that there'd be any this well.
Well, it is, the surcharge language is in the statute, without a doubt.
Yeah. Right. No, but I just meant the enabling statute for UPC, talking about what it does. I mean, would there be a fiscal note if we just look at the or how UPC's organized, what they do? Or is it better
we talked about that last year sometime.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't
we're just making some clarifications in it. It's really
right.
What we were looking at. But
well,
we
I think we need to figure out what we want to do first and then worry about how.
Well, so I think
we really want UPC employees.
Are Bob and his folks subject to our policies and procedures or not? And if it's not, then I have to go to Sean and we have to make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it is, then we're fine, and then we can talk about making some changes to the statute.
If they're going to make political statements, it probably ought to be under the AG.
How about press
statements? I don't know that I want Bob making political statements at all.
I don't
know. Just so you know. from the council.
Okay, well, let me put this in perspective for you. This bothered me, and this isn't fair, but it was Lynn Packer who called him. And that bothers me a lot.
I don't think
Bob
that
understood.
That should bother anybody. Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, because I think anybody around this table but you, guy would have said to Lynn Packer, say thank you, and hung up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of gone off the edge, but
he has.
So maybe more benign. Up through yesterday, his name in my teaching, my classes.
He's what?
Me. When I teach around the state, like, who do I say I'm representing? I have this on my front slide. And when Sean came in, I don't want to hold him to this because he was new and all that, but he said, oh yeah, UPC, great, tell the people around the state that were all for training and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've probably trained roughly 20 agencies that are listed in here since December, and who my training, like if they ask me who I'm with, my business card says Attorney General's office, at least for the short-term future. You know, there are a lot of issues. If I'm teaching a new decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, I might have a different interpretation than you or Bob or, you know.
That's right.
That seems like a fairly clear UPC function where it's just where it's training.
I agree that that's UPC.
So maybe we're...
The training's not talking to the press. I think this really is dealing with the press. The training issues through UPC, in my opinion, are through UPC.
I agree.
I think the issue we're really discussing here is the press issue. Who talks to the press? Who doesn't talk to the press? The only way I see it coming up really for you and Donna is if somebody's covering a conference you're presenting at and they ask you about your presentation. And I don't know that the AG's office has an issue with you talking about your presentation.
Okay, the other thing is, when really the higher ups see what Don and I are doing around the state, they actually might want to take credit for it because it's not being done in a lot of states, what we're doing. And so there's that.
On the press issues, can't we just, you vote on a policy saying it's referred to the chair of the UPC, which is you?
We could.
And that would solve some of that, wouldn't it?
For press statements, prior clearance here.
UPC.
For UPC.
For UPC issues only, yes. My problem is, has anyone ever dealt with a reporter where they say, well, I just want to talk to you about PIMS, mm-hmm. or it didn't end up going off on about 20 different tangents?
No.
Towards over
my,
I mean,
right. He's saying is actually refer the reporter to me, not even talking.
So if it's about PIMS and it's a reporter,
whoever,
it goes to
whoever the chairperson is at that point in time.
Now, I have no problem with that.
Would that work, Bob?
Yeah, no, that's why.
Because then they're just going to load on your county.
Well, we may be able to just solve this by practice and not have to go to the legislature.
Yeah.
Just say, well, if you've got to make any statement to the press on anything except, yes, we're having a nice training, you better clear it with the AG.
Right, and
before you go, I assume that Donna's cleared it with the Attorney General's office because she's doing some pretty certain. She's actually testifying in committees and lobbying.
She approached me before she went up to the legislature and every time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
no,
some of these,
no problem there then.
None.
She's testifying as an assistant AG, as I believe.
She is.
So no sweat.
Yeah, I've sat through some of those, and she testifies as an assistant Attorney General.
But she didn't identify herself as an assistant AG, did she?
No, I believe she did. I believe it was actually on the
so.
Agenda.
Okay,
just make sure we do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that some of these policies we're talking about would go into the statute. I mean, that's the other thing that I've been trying to...
Now, I do believe that last year we did speak to Bob about working at the legislature on behalf of UPC. Is that something we need to adjust? Because... We gave him some direction on what UPC wanted, what if that is not...
And our practice from the get-go was that if there was an issue, even a lobbying issue, that had to do with a surcharge, that the UPC director would be there, and would be there even lobbying, although they clear with the AG first, but essentially that was it. If it directly affected the UPC, otherwise they wouldn't.
Right. I think that's one of the things we had talked about with him. We hadn't given him any other instructions about other items. But my only concern is if the board sends him one place to talk about one thing and the AG desires something different from the same situation. I'm just looking for future issues. How do we address those issues? I guess they would be addressed in our board meeting since we always should have a representative AG here at that point in time. You know, however we choose to insulate that and then take care of those businesses. Because I know at times UPC make a decision. All our decisions aren't unanimous, even though sometimes it feels like that. They're not always unanimous, but they have some underlying issues with either any county or other entity.
Mm-hmm.
We should make sure that... That we just make sure we're not offending one group. We all have to work together.
Right.
We don't want to set somebody up and come out and then somebody bash on us.
All right.
So do we need a motion for any policy? Do we need?
I would think that if the Attorney General's office has issues like this, since he's a member of the board or his designee is, they could just put it on an agenda and we could plan for it, because this,
well,
this wasn't on the agenda and none of us are really prepared to solve this right now. I don't even think we should be acting on it since it wasn't noticed, as far as I can see.
It's not on the agenda, so no motion or anything on that, but do we maybe need to have a meeting or anything else? Assign somebody to meet with you guys and then...
Bob suggested to me, and I think it's a good one, that Sean and I meet probably with you and with Bob and discuss how we're going to go forward with this. Because yesterday could have been a disaster with Lynn Packer. We have had numerous problems with him. And we've sort of gotten it all on the back burner. I'm afraid now it's all on the front burner. And in case you haven't seen, he's got a new article out. But I can tell you right now, he had already written his article before he talked to you. And all he was looking for was sound bites to put into it. And he won't be accurate.
Yeah.
You want it to be remotely close.
And maybe education is part of this as well. Bob hasn't been involved a lot in this past in his other job. And obviously, I know nothing about the reporters here in Salt Lake. They don't bother me out of Duchesne County.
Can you tell us what article this is going to be and when it's going to be published?
It's just the City Weekly.
It's not even City Weekly. It's his blog.
Oh, it
it's his own blog.
Okay.
He's only got 4 readers, but...
So,
and they're family members.
Yeah, so I think this conversation, you know, flows into the last item is the employee incentive awards. Is that the policy, the proposed policy I drafted? I'm obviously going to have to go back and change some language because it reflects that the three of us aren't employed by the AG's office. Because that's when we met with Brian and you were on the phone. I don't know if it was before we got you on the phone, but he made it very clear to Representative Hutchings that UPC is not employed, you know, they're not AGs. Is that, am I remembering that correct? Do you remember, Steve?
I don't recall that, the specifics of it. I just know that we were emphatic about the separation.
Right. So obviously I have a misunderstanding. So yes, I think it would be good if we had a sit down. So Steve is the chair elect, and I'd forgotten that, so maybe 4 or 5 of us, we can sit down and
I would suggest that.
Yeah.
I would move that we table that item then until another time, until after that meeting.
Right.
As far as the incentive.
Second. 7 seconds.
Okay.
All in favor.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We just need to set the new, decide where we're meeting next time.
Next meeting.
I didn't have a date. Marilyn was gone and was looking.
Yes, the 12th of June, and someone typically in June hosts. Last time we had it up in
Weber? No, Morgan. Morgan County.
Yeah, we had it Morgan County.
Morgan County.
We would offer to, we'd offer to host again. Would you do your shooting range thing again if we did?
I've still got a case of shells that we need to use. So.
And can we have meat and potatoes? You can get have Larry Spring chicken again.
There.
As long as we don't have cold cuts, we'll have it at Morgan. But you can't come to Morgan if you're bringing Subway. Because I just we're a meat and potatoes county, so it'd have to be a hot lunch.
But you have a Subway there now.
I know, that's why. That's the only franchise we have. We need something. Everyone enjoyed the chicken fried chicken we had last time from Larry Spring Chicken.
That was good.
Let's do that again. We're happy to host if people don't mind driving up there.
And I'll have to be excused from that one, sorry.
I do too.
And hopefully I'll be in the LEOJ right that day.
I'll be...
If we don't have
between Rocky Ridge,
that is going to be the third day of the Leo Chain course.
If we don't have a quorum, then maybe we look at a different date.
That would be true.
Two that would be there.
Yeah.
Well, that's for swap. I'm just swap.
Oh, okay.
What about June 26th? 2 weeks.
That's UPC.
That's UPC.
UPAA.
Or UPAA.
Oh, sorry. I don't.
Yeah, UPC is UPAA.
The 19th.
Hilarious.
I'll be in Omaha.
Going once.
College World Series.
I'm good on the 19th.
Are you, Jeff? No, you're still bad.
It'd be even better on the 18th. But
It's too late to ski.
You know, you can get everybody here.
Yeah.